This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans? Or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a grand celebration as a local classical dance institution hits the big 7-0, or would like to let loose and have fun at an extended weekend girls' getaway in the French Quarter, we've got answers. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The Jacobi Academy of Dance is celebrating its 70th anniversary this weekend, a milestone in New Orleans dance history. And here to talk about this momentous occasion is Richard Roldan, faculty member of the Jacobi Academy of Dance and ballet master for the Delta Festival Ballet, which makes its home at the Academy. Richard, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, this is quite a milestone. Tell me your thoughts on the Jacobis and their imprint on classical dance and on our cultural community.
I've never met a family, a group of people so dedicated to one art form. They live and breathe the dance, and they have for 70 years. And the impact on the community, thousands and thousands of young girls and boys who have traipsed through the studios and either went out professionally to dance or just loved it and still have fond memories of studying at the studio.
70 years. How did the Dance Academy survive the decades? What's its secret to success?
Quality. The Jacobis are known for excellence. Nothing is going to go on the stage that is not good. Not every student is super talented. Not everyone's going to be a great ballerina. But everyone who comes to the school learns to dance and to dance correctly. We are known for the high quality of our dancing.
Take us back in time, if you would, to the humble beginning of the Jacobi Academy of Dance. What prompted this dance journey back in 1943?
The studio was founded in 1943 by Maria Jacobi and her sister Georgie, with the help of their parents, Leona and Lawrence Jacobi, who wanted a dancing school for their girls. They were both students of a lady named Jerry Finassi, who was quite well known here in New Orleans back then. And the school opened on Airline Highway, and it was small, and then just built from there. Joseph, their brother, who was one of the directors, was one of their first students, and by 1954, he was helping out, teaching in the studio. And even back then, they were known for the quality of their dancing, the quality of their training. In the 60s, the focus of the studio shifted towards classical ballet. Joseph's passion and Maria's has always been the classical ballet. And we built up from there. By 1969, they had founded Delta Festival Ballet.
Delta Festival Ballet, founded by
Maria and Joseph.
And Maria Jacobi,
right.
Brother and sister.
Yes.
And I understand that Joseph met his wife at Delta Festival Ballet.
Gwendell was a student in the school and joined Delta Festival Ballet. She was a soloist and principal of the company for many years, yes. So she taught in the school for years. She ran the Slidell studio. The Slidell studio was her baby. And we miss Gwendell a lot.
Yes, we lost Gwendell earlier this year.
Earlier this year. And it's been sad, but school carries on.
She's missed in
the
arts community.
Missed very much.
The Academy has an international reputation today and graduates whose dance careers have soared. Can you talk about some of these dance legends? Who are they?
Well, Jerry Hilding, who was a young man from Louisiana, New Orleans, who went to UNO, as a matter of fact, became a principal dancer with the Joffrey Ballet in New York. There were dancers in the Boston Ballet with Denise Pons, Laurie Volney, who was a soloist with Houston Ballet, and then went on to be dance counter for Phantom of the Opera for years in New York. Dancing right now is Janie Taylor, a young girl from the North Shore, who is now a principal dancer in the New York City Ballet. Janessa Touche, who is a principal dancer in Cincinnati Ballet. Patrick Howell, who is a principal dancer with the Ballet Augsburg in Germany and the Milwaukee Ballet. Laura Gilbreth, soloists with Pacific Northwest Ballet. Tobin Eason, American Ballet Theater in New York. We have a girl, Aubrey Morgan, who's dancing on Broadway in Phantom of the Opera. Margot Delabar, who just finished the revival of Evita in New York and was in the Smash revival of South Pacific. And we have a Rockette. Erin Monteleone's a Rockette, has been for a few years now at Radio City.
That is just beautiful.
I can't think of another school in the South that produces so many professional dancers.
Now, in addition to the Jacoby Academy of Dance, there were two offshoots from it, two nonprofits that were formed, the Delta Festival Ballet, which we talked about a little earlier, and the New Orleans Youth Ballet. Can you tell us when they were formed and how do they enrich our local dance landscape today?
Delta Festival Ballet was formed in 1969 by Joseph and Maria as a regional ballet company. The ballet in the 60s was a booming, just booming. Every city in the country was starting to found ballet companies, and they wanted one. And by 1982, Delta had become a professional ballet company. Their dancers were paid, augmented by dancers from the school for the Corps de Ballet. And in 1988, they decided they needed something for the younger ones to train them to be on the stage. So they founded the New Orleans Youth Ballet. They were the first people to do full-length Sleeping Beauties in New Orleans, Coppelia. And, of course, Nutcracker, which is everyone knows the Nutcracker. Everyone goes to our Nutcracker with the LPO. And the Youth Ballet puts on full-length productions as well.
And how were you first attracted to the Jacoby Academy of Dance?
I joined Delta Festival Ballet as a dancer in the mid-'80s. And as things go, after a while, you can't do that anymore. And I had choreographed one or two small things for the school and for the company. And Maria and Joseph asked me if I would like to do the youth ballet. And that's how it started, and it's built from there. And then I became ballet master of Delta Festival Ballet in 1992.
So, how do you celebrate 70 years of dance?
Soak your feet. No. We're doing our 70th anniversary recital, which is Sunday, June 16th, Father's Day, at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. We have a recital every year, but this one's going to be special. We have some extra added attractions. A lot of alumni who've danced over the years, former ballerinas from companies and girls who just danced here with Delta Festival Ballet and the Youth Ballet and Gentlemen are doing two numbers, three actually. They've revived a 1995 tap number, which is being performed by five ballerinas. But they were wonderful tap dancers. And a lot of the ladies are joining me on stage in a French ballet that we're doing, and one of the numbers is Cole Porter's Les Girls, and the showgirls are going to be all former dancers. And a group of alumni got together and decided secretly that they were going to put a ballet together. They contacted two teachers of ours who've been in our faculty in the summer for over 20 years, Frank Vega and Aaron Gerlinghaus, to do a dance for them. And it's going on. And a highlight of the evening is going to be Janessa Touche is a principal dancer with the Cincinnati Ballet, and her partner, Sevilio Amador, a wonderful Cuban dancer, are going to perform the Romeo and Juliet balcony scene.
Oh, wow. What a program.
Yeah.
And can you tell me, what does the future hold for the Jacobis and the art of dance in the metro area?
The future holds more Jacoby Academy. They're not going anywhere. 70 years is going to turn into 80.
So this is not a swan
song. Oh, God, no. Heavens, no. Definitely not a swan song. The Jacoby Academy is going to endure.
And as that legacy continues, it will be at the helm of Joseph and Maria Jacoby.
Exactly.
They're still teaching today.
And Maria's in the studio every single day teaching, and so is Joseph. Yep.
Richard, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking with Richard Rolden, faculty member of the Jacoby Academy of Dance and ballet master for the Delta Festival Ballet. The Jacobys celebrate 70 years of dance at the Mahalia Jackson Theater of the Performing Arts, Sunday, 5 p.m. listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Save the dates, June 20th through 23rd. New Orleans is known for its festivals and a relatively new entry. FestiGals is rolling out the pink carpet as it celebrates its third anniversary. FestiGals is a four-day weekend celebration created by women for women, offering networking opportunities and a variety of workshops and seminars on issues affecting women. With me today is FestiGals founder, Diane Lyons. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Diane Mack. I'm so happy to be here.
Glad to have you. Tell me, what is it about FestiGals that attracts women from not only New Orleans, but from around the country?
Well, I think it's all about women celebrating each other. We take care of so many people in our lives, our parents, our children, and our grandchildren, that we have to have a little bit of time just for us. And so we created FestiGals for women to come downtown and celebrate music, food, fashion, and fun.
What are your thoughts as you gear up for the third anniversary of this unique celebration?
Well, we really want local women to come downtown as well as statewide. Just everybody loves the French Quarter. A lot of us just don't have time to go down there. And this is based at the Hotel Monteleon. And so you can come down, pack your bag, stay at the Hotel Monteleon, sit at the Carousel Bar, and have a cocktail. We call it a festatini, by the way. And then enjoy the Diva Discussions. You can have a wonderful session with Amelia Antonetti. She is the voice of small business. And this year, we're going to open FestiGals with her at the new Tableau, Dickie Brennan's great new treasure. And guess what? We get to see Le Petit Theater that night as well, which hasn't opened yet to the public. And then we kick it off with an early morning breakfast. And guess what the topic is? Age management 101. Every woman wants to know about that with Dr. Barbara Bopp. Following that, we'll do a session about what's up down there. And that's a famous Dr. Susan Kellogg who's coming in to talk about pelvic health. How about that? And we have Holly Clegg, you know, the author of 7 different cookbooks. Trim and Terrific is going to be her topic. And then we're following that with lots of other Diva discussions. We have Stephanie Waswall, who's going to talk about safer, smarter traveler. She's a woman who writes Travel Girl magazine. She is actually living in New Orleans right now, and that's pretty amazing. We have Tanya Fitzpatrick, who has a topic called Living on Purpose. And then guess what happens? We have a Bloody Mary reception, you know. We have to have that in New Orleans.
How did FestiGals get its start, and what is its mission?
Well, our mission is to celebrate women and to enhance New Orleans by letting women know that New Orleans is a safe and good place for women to come downtown. And that I'm an event planner. I own an event company called Accent on Arrangements, and I've been planning and producing events in tourism industry for over 30 years. And I used to talk to lots of women, and still do, who plan meetings. They come to New Orleans and they're working on a meeting for 2014, and they've never been, or they haven't been in 20 years. And they always think of just that little decadent Bourbon Street. They don't know about, you know, a wonderful place in the French Quarter that's really special for us, or the historic New Orleans collection, or Commander's Palace. They've not been there. And so you take them and you show them the little insider tips, beautiful homes. Maybe we're using that for a spouse program. And when they see that, then they understand why we love to live here and what makes our city so unique. Or we take them to a wonderful jazz club at Preservation Hall and let them hear that music. And they're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I'm going to bring my mother back. Or I'm going to bring my sister after this meeting's over, and she's going to join me, and we're going to go on that swamp tour, or we're going to go see what you showed me, Diane. So I begin to think, why don't we do this? We have a festival for oysters and tomatoes and men and football games, but we don't have anything that celebrates women. So we work hard. We pull everything together, and I believe more than ever after Katrina, we're the glue that put this city back together. So I think it's really important that we celebrate our sisters, our mothers, our grandchildren, our granddaughters, and we come together and talk about those at Festigals and talk about how we can empower women, how we can pull them up, enhance and enlighten each other by sharing experiences.
And the name Festigals, how did you come up with that?
Well, that was just a brainstorming session. I wanted to have a festival, but I didn't want it to call it a festival, and so it's kind of a festy with gals in there. And a good friend of mine, she helped me name that.
Now, art is a big component of the festival, and Festigals chooses a bra as the canvas.
Well, we talked about what's out there with women, and we came up with bras, you know, and bodacious bras is what we decided to call this event. And we have, as I said, over 36 artists and celebrities. We've got a wonderful one from Jackie Clarkson that is done by a local artist named Denise Burke. And it's got Mrs. Clarkson's red gloves for her red color, her gray and white hair and her eyeglasses and a flirtily brooch, because if you see Miss Clarkson on TV, she's always got a brooch. We've got the Mardi Gras Indians represented. The artist there is a third generation Mardi Gras Indian, so she's really done an amazing thing. She calls it the Queen of Hearts. Chris Knight, the celebrity, has got one called Pretty in Pink. We've got Tracy Dundas of Fashion Week NOLA with Haute Couture Brassiere, and it's beautiful with all kinds of hanging crystals. Irma Thomas, if you're into music, you might want to buy Irma's. Really iconic New Orleans music isn't any better than Irma. And hers is called I Survived, because Irma survived breast cancer. And her parents were affected by that as well. So hers is precious. We have something called Here Come the Sun. One of my favorite artistic ones, though, is something called NOLA Girls. And it's done by artist Jax Fry. And if you've seen those little paintings, they're mini paintings of New Orleans scenes, Café du Monde, beignets, the cathedral. She's hung 8 of those on the bra. It's amazing. Stephen Weingler, the bead art man. And Repurpose New Orleans did a most amazing thing. They call their bra Tata Mr. Carpetbagger. Storyville's got a new redfish. Bethany Boltman did one, the great artist. Gosh, there are 36 of them. Alina Prima did one. Chris Owens. We've got one from Cheryl and Dave Craig called Temptation that was painted by them, and they're in Baton Rouge. Oh, and I got one the other day from George Strait. He's got one that with two big cowboy hats. And one of my favorites, though, that everyone, if you're into politics or you just like to speak your mind to two senators representing Louisiana, you might want to look at the bra partisan bra. That represents Mary Landrieu on one side and David Vitter on the other. And Wendy Vitter put this together with students from NOCA. So it's red, white, and blue with flags of all political denominations. And it's dinner included in that for 6 people with Senator Landrieu and Senator Vitta. Now, I am sure there's someone who wants to get a voice with those people.
So now, the bodacious bras, this is an auction, and it's an auction for a cause.
That's correct.
What's the cause?
The cause is Cancer Association of Greater New Orleans, CAGNO. We've really put these funds to not just breast cancer, but cervical and ovarian and lung, affecting women. That's what we want it to do. And to help the women caught in that financial gap between insurance and getting the services they need.
And the bra art isn't the only artistically fun component of this festival. What else is on tap?
Oh, my goodness. Part of the Diva Discussions, we have a wonderful cultural experience with 3 great musical divas. We have Robin Barnes representing the young divas, Banu Gibson, the voice of fabulous music, Ba Ba Boom, and Charmaine Neville. And guess who's interviewing them? Jan Ramsey from Offbeat.
Oh, my goodness.
So you're going to get to hear their stories. How did they get into this? And it's up close and personal. And it's a Diva Discussion on Friday, June 21st. And then we have a sip and stroll on Royal Street that afternoon with craft cocktails and going into great shopping stores. Followed by the next morning, Saturday, we're doing some private home tours, a wonderful opportunity to go in the Nelson Galleries at the Historic New Orleans Collections, new gallery on Chartus and Conti. We're doing breakfast there. If you can only come on Saturday, you should go to lunch with Tory McPhail. He has been just recently named James Beard Award Best Chef in the South. He's the guy from Commanders, but guess what? On Saturday, the 22nd, he's cooking for the women of Festigals. one of the great old parts of New Orleans is a second line. And we've got a very safe environment. We've got all these women's dancing groups. They're in our second line parade on Saturday night. But we don't call it a second line. We call it a stiletto stroll because it's women parading through the French Quarter.
As you celebrate the third Festigals, how does it look? Is it getting bigger?
Well, last year was so phenomenal because we had Hoda Kotb as our great diva. This year we have another wonderful diva, Rhonda Shear. Now, you know, she's a local girl. A lot of people know her because she was on Saturday Hop when we were growing up, dancing to all those wonderful tunes. Well, she went to Hollywood. Then she became the Abra Queen. Rhonda is beautiful, savvy, and an amazing business reinvention story.
All right. Well, Diane, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Festigals founder, Diane Lyons. Festigals kicks off its third anniversary celebration in the French Quarter, June 20th through 23rd. More info at festigals.org. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Playwright, activist, and author Eve Ensler, best known for her play The Vagina Monologues, will be in town this week signing copies of her latest book, In the Body of the World, a memoir. You can meet Eve Ensler at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center, 1712 Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard, Thursday, June 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. The New Orleans Shakespeare Festival at Tulane opens its 20th anniversary season with a laugh. William Shakespeare's famous farce, The Merry Wives of Windsor, at Tulane University's Lupin Theater, opening Thursday, June 13th at 7:30 p.m. Trumpeter and bandleader Irvin Mayfield and the New Orleans Jazz Orchestra, in partnership with the George Rodrigue Foundation of the Arts, will perform the music of New Orleans jazz masters Ellis Marsalis, Harold Baptiste, and James Black at the Joy Theater, 1200 Canal Street, Friday, June 21st at 8 p.m. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.